Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, family. I pray everybody's had a blessed week. Had the on-call week of hell this past week, but Yah is good. It just really wore me out. But Yah is good and greatly to be praised. I greet you all from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the place where I met my lovely wife. And we are celebrating our 30th anniversary this week. And so we flew into Charlotte and drove down today and checked in like not too long ago. Been kind of like an all-day thing. Nevertheless, this is the month of so many high holy days. We have the Feast of Trumpets on the 6th. We have the Feast of Tabernacles. We're starting the 16th or the 17th, but don't take the gospel on that. I need to look at the calendar. We have the Day of Atonement all in this month. And so, you know, we want to be mindful of the Most High's feast days. He gave them to us to celebrate the works that he has either done or is going to do. So I want to take the time to greet everybody in Pal Talk Land, on Blog Talk Land, on the internet in general, on the continent of South America, the continent of Africa, the European continent, the North American continent. We greet you in the name by which all men must be saved, Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah and hallelujah. We are still in the Elohim of the blood covenant. And we were going back and looking at, you know, Messiah said, and the Most High said that he would give us a new covenant. And that we're in the new covenant, the New Testament. And we wanted to see what things were brought forth from the old into the new. Because the only thing that he did with the new was say, I'm going to write my statutes, my laws, and my commandments in your heart and in your mind. We know a lot of those things that were done in the Torah, in the Old Testament, some of them weren't brought forward into the New. But the thing is that very little of them were dropped. You know, people are saying that, hey, we are not up under the law. He didn't do away with the law. So those commandments and the covenant that we are up under today, we are setting the old so that we might know what's in the new and that we might keep them. Because the Most High said, you, Israel, being, you know, having a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. You know, we had an excitement about serving him, but not according to knowledge. And we went about establishing our own righteousness over his righteousness and not submitting ourselves to his righteousness. So as we started studying this, you know, the statutes, laws, and commandments in Torah, it became very evident that, you know, our forefathers didn't listen to the Most High. They did what they wanted to do. And when he said to judge a certain way, they judged the way that they wanted to judge and not the way that he said to judge. And so we are continuing in this. If we repeat a little bit, the document that I thought I saved, the document that I've been working from, my working document for this, so that at the end of this review, you know, we'll have a concrete footing, stand on that this is what's in the New Testament, the new covenant, and this is what's not. So just pray with me, pray for me. I will have to update that document when I get back to Phoenix, sort of winging it on tonight. Nevertheless, Yah Elohim is good and greatly to be praised. Let us start off with our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. So let me have the ladies to cover your head. Men, uncover your head. And turn toward the east. Sun comes up. Okay. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of God and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear God and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand cup of praise on this evening and honor him in his Shabbat, a day that he says that if we honor him in it, then shall we be set above. So hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. We lift you up today, Father. We magnify your name. We thank you for this gift, Father, that you have given us and that you have kept us in. Father, we know that it is your word that is the only thing that will sustain us, Christ. And it is by your word that you have created all things and you sustain all things. And your word shall not return unto you void. But everything that you have declared, it will come to happen. So, Father, we can glorify you and thank you for your kindness and your mercy and your grace. Truly, you are worthy of all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And you will praise no other than you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim, our rock and our fortress, our redeemer, the lover of our souls. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent of our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedness. Father, and we are repenting from our sins and returning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call, Father, that they would come, and that they would learn to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and that they would love you with all of their heart, Father. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom tonight, we have prepared a place for you, that you would come and that you might sup with us. We are your people, and we need you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, let us go to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their father, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which thou hast built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel. So hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. Oh, yeah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Let us summon in the Most High. He has said in his new moons and in his Sabbath, if you will sound the shofar, then he will come.
Kawa wakinawa wala a the pine hour. Deuteronomy 28, verse 68. And the Most High shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I speak unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. Egypt. Yeah, man. This is talking about the spiritual Egypt, America, the house of bondage.
Oh, that's how our Western journey began.
Yeah, man. Israel can't captivity for breaking your law. We were driven out of Israel by the Roman Empire. Seek some refuge in our West Africa. Then the Arab and the Amites sold us to Esau. Then pack us on the slave ship to America. Enslave us, fire upon the slave master. But the scripture said you must be a fierce slaughter for the iniquities of your forefathers.
The book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 5. For you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or Elohim. And we're dealing with this uncleanliness of man on this evening. Now, we dealt with the unclean animals. We dealt with, you know, what makes a woman unclean in her conception, in the birth of the child where there is blood. The Most High says that it is unclean. And we're going to start looking at the man. What makes a man unclean? Because these things, you know, this state of cleanliness, the Most High is, he says, no unclean person can enter into the kingdom. And so, you know, this is something that we as his people, we don't want to take this thing lightly. Now, we've talked about the leper and, you know, how they were, if they were, as long as they were in a contagious state, they were unclean. Even to the point that they would have to, you know, walk around and when people approached them, they would have to holler, unclean. They have to let people know that they were unclean. Don't come near me, or else you're going to be unclean. Now, this uncleanliness was considered to be a sin. And so when they were out of their that condition, then they had to bring, you know, a sacrifice for sin. But uncleanliness, as far as, you know, sin goes, you were unclean for a time. Typically, on the average, if it was a, you know, a typical uncleanliness, then you were unclean. If you touched something unclean, then you were unclean after you washed until the evening, till the sun went down. And so, you know, we want to be mindful of these things because the Most High himself has said that no unclean person will enter into the kingdom. We don't want to let something like this stop us from entering, especially out of ignorance. So the book of Leviticus chapter 15. Let's go back and let's start in Leviticus chapter 15. And, you know, we want to read what thus says the Most High Elohim concerning the things that, concerning a man. I feel a lot of the time enough is not spoken of concerning the man and what makes him unclean. Leviticus chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man has a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. So if he got, you know, some type of sore that's puffing, that, you know, is oozing, this makes him unclean, okay? And this shall be his uncleanliness in this issue, whether his flesh with this issue or his flesh be stopped.
All right. Let me get a one from anybody if I can be heard now. Looks like my phone got kicked off. So can I get somebody to press one if you can hear me okay? All right. Thank you. All right. Let's continue in this matter. And if it happens again, no, don't hang up. I'll just dial back in. Seems like I have a weak signal here at the beach for some reason. Okay. So we're talking about the uncleanliness of a man. The Most High says when he has any type of running issue, you know, some type of leaky sore that's pussing or something that's oozing, he is unclean. And everywhere where he sleeps at, everywhere where he sits at, anything that he touches is unclean. Okay, so we have to understand it. And as a man, we have to understand that there are some things that make us from our body unclean. So let's continue. Verse 4. Every bed whereupon he lies that has the issue is unclean, and everything whereupon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Now, as long as he has this issue in his flesh, he is unclean. Even after he washes, he's unclean as long as that issue persists. But whosoever touches anything that he touches, whether it's his bed, whether it's his clothing, whether it was, you know, a donkey that he sat on, that person was unclean. They had to wash and they were to be unclean until the evening. Okay? So this is not one of those types of things that, you know, once you're unclean, you're just dirty forever. No, the Most High says you can wash, but you're unclean for a time. Why is this important? Because as long as you are unclean, you cannot eat anything that is holy. Can't take part in it. And that's what uncleanliness stops us from doing. Taking part in anything that is holy. So, you know, I've got a lot of people out there who practice uncleanliness and then will walk up into church. Will take communion, will, you know, do something that they're not supposed to do, okay? So all of us have to know that when we are unclean, we are not to take part in anything that is holy. Coming to the Sabbath. And if you do something that makes you unclean at the beginning of the Sabbath, you are unclean the entire Sabbath. Even if you went in there and took a shower, you're unclean until the next evening. So Sabbath just started, the sun just went down, you went and did something to make yourself unclean. You can't go take a shower and say it's all good. But the Most High says you're unclean for a time period. And you can't just go wash and say, oh, well, now I'm clean, so the rest of the time don't matter. No, it does matter. And so for this man who has this issue, as long as he's got the issue, he's unclean. Even if he washes, he's still unclean. He's got to get rid of that issue. But anybody that touches him or has anything to do with him, whenever they touch him, they become unclean until what? That evening. They have to wash and they're unclean until the evening. Okay? So, you know, we can't get, you know, say, well, we're just going to go take a shower and it's all good. No. Let's read verse 5 again so that we understand it. And whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. So at the most, I was just going to say, hey, whosoever touches whatever he touches, if they wash, they're clean. And it's done. No, that's not what he said. He said, whosoever touches them is unclean, and then they must bathe themselves in water, and they are unclean still until the evening. It's a time period. So we want to make sure that we understand that so that, you know, you're not going to go do something, make yourself unclean, then go run and take a shower, and then go try to take part in something of the Most High is holy, that's holy to him. Because you're breathing, you're actually breathing condemnation on yourself. And so we have to understand how this uncleanliness works. Let's continue. Verse 6. And he that sitteth on anything whereupon he sat that had the issue, shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that touches the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. So if you did this thing, as I said, if you did this thing first thing in the morning, and then you washed, you know, oh, wow, dude, you're unclean. I got to go wash. It's early in the morning. You're unclean until that evening. If the sun just set and it's the start of a new day and you touch something of his that is unclean, you are unclean until the next evening, the whole day, the entire night. Until the next evening, you are unclean. That means that you can't go and take part in anything that is holy. You know, and you know, I know we just want to serve the Most High, right? And so we just want to run up into whatever, just came out of doing whatever. We're unclean. We're going to go wash, and we feel like we're clean. And then we're going to go touch something, take part in something that has to do with the Most High, and then declare ourselves okay. That doesn't work. Okay, so we don't want to do that. We are unclean until the next evening, and we can't partake of anything until that time is over. Okay, have to obey his law. Verse 9, and what saddle soever he rides upon that has the issue shall be unclean, and whosoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever he touches that has the issue and has not rinsed his clothes in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And the vessel of earth that he touched, which has the issue, shall be broken. So if he touches anything that's made out of wood or made out of clay, any type of earthen vessel like that, that vessel is unclean and has to be broken. It's not to be used again. Now, you know, somebody might say, hey, we can use some Clorox. We can use some Lysol. Most I says if it's an earthen vessel, it has to be broken. Now, if it's brass or steel or something like that, you can scrub it out. But if it's anything made out of like dirt or wood, you can't scrub it out. You have to break it. All right, let's continue. And when he that has, well, no, let's do verse 12 again. And the vessel of earth that he touches, which has the issue, shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. Okay, so I got that one wrong. I actually misspoke on that one. If it's a wooden vessel, he says you can rinse it with water. If it's an earthen vessel, you got to actually break it. Let's continue. Verse 13. And when he that has an issue is cleansed of his issue. Now, this whole time we've been talking about him, he has continued to have this issue. He was unclean. Now, we're going to read about when he gets clean, when he gets cleansed of this issue, when he gets healed of it. Okay, verse 14 and 13. And when he that has an issue is cleansed of his issue, and he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. So he's got to do a 7-day cleansing, got to wash his clothes, and then bathe his flesh in running water, and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day, he shall take to him 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, and come before Yah unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give unto them to the priest. And the priest shall offer them one for a sin offering. Wherein did he sin? He was unclean, pure and simple. It's nothing complicated. The fact that he was unclean was sin. So he had to bring a sin offering. You know, a lot of people might say, well, you're just dirty. You were just unclean. But the Most High says he has determined that when we are unclean, it is sin. He's the one that determines what sin is. He's the one that said what's right and what's wrong. And he says when you are unclean, you are in sin. It's not just a matter of you being dirty or being ill, having an issue coming from your body, whether it's a pus sore or a canker sore or a boil, a ooze and boil. He says you are unclean and it is sin. Okay. Let's continue. So we have to bring a sin offering. Verse 15 again. And the priest shall offer them one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before Yah for his issue. Any man's seed. Now, this is where men and women need to pay close attention to. Because this is one of those areas where the brothers like to say, oh, the marriage bed is undefiled. Okay. And you know, a lot of brothers take it to the point of whatever we want to do in that bed is undefiled. That is a corruption of the verse. What the Most High says is perverted. What he says is unclean. What he says is not permissible. The marriage bed cannot undo that. We don't say because you got married, now this stuff, this wickedness that you were doing, you can continue to do. And it's legal. No. Not what he's saying. Okay. So, but from the simplicity of being clean and unclean, let's see what the Most High says about this. Any man's seed of copulation, go out from him. And he shall wash all his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening. Let's break this down. if he is not having sex and he has a wet dream, and we know what those are. He had a dream about sex and spilled seed. He is unclean. Period. Point blank. And he cannot take part in anything that is holy. He's to wash his clothes, his flesh, and he is unclean until the evening. Okay? Let's continue in this. And every garment, and every skin, and we're talking about every skin because, you know, a lot of times they didn't sleep on linen sheets like we have. It would be like it could be a sheepskin rug. It could be, a wolf skin. Something, it was an animal skin. Maybe it was a cat, you know, from a cattle, a cow or a bull, from a sheep or a goat. And they were using it for their bedding. And this got that on it as well. Okay. Then that piece of cloth or that skin, whereupon is the seed of copulation, shall be washed with water and be unclean until the evening. The woman also, with whom the man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. You and your husband enjoying yourself. Y'all having an intimate moment. And the end result of it is you are both unclean because of the seed of copulation. You're both unclean. So can't get up and go to church. Can't get up and go, you know, do anything that is holy. Let's get up and read the word together. No. Don't do that. You are still unclean, and that Bible is holy. Okay. So we want to be in the spirit of the thing. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, like I said, I know the games the brothers be playing. And if they are not trying to be holy and to be clean, then they're going to tell you what they want to tell you. And have you both unclean, and you're being obedient and submissive and in submission to your man. But your man got you doing some things that are what? Unclean and unholy. Okay? So we need to understand, because this is one of those areas that a lot of people just take the word of someone. And, you know, you'll have a teacher get up and teach, the marriage bed is undefiled. And leave it like that, and then try to, you know, mend in all these different things that don't fit, because they just want to do it that way. And they want to be able to, you know, convince their woman that, you know, it's okay to do these things. And then when they start teaching other people, you know, so I simply tell the brothers like this. I said, okay, the marriage bed is undefiled. And you say that anything goes in the marriage bed. Now, this is going to be gross, but, you know, don't hang up on me or do whatever just to make a point. Your woman used to be into bestiality. She still has a taste for it. She marries you and brings the dog to the bed with her. And you. Remember, you said the marriage bed is undefiled. Oh, no, she can't do that. Okay, but your uncleanliness, you can justify it. So, you know, it is men corrupting the word of the Most High that they might do unclean things. And justify them. But the truth of the matter is, the marriage bed being undefiled means that you're not doing anything to defile your marriage bed. Make it unclean. That's what it means. Undefiled means that is clean. you do something that the Most High has determined, already determined, even your very act of sex, he says, makes it unclean. So, oh, well, wait a minute. I used to like this type of sex. Let me go and let me get me a wife and have her to do it. It was unclean before. It's still unclean. And not only that, it may even be perverse and abominable. But because you were introduced to it in the world and you liked it, you want to keep doing it. But you can't make somebody be unclean for you and your perversion. And, you know, it's not just the men, because women go to like those things too. You know, they get introduced to certain things, and it, you know, they have a craving for it. It wasn't unpleasant to them, or maybe they're into unpleasantness. Either way it goes, they have a craving. So it's not just a man thing, you know, and I don't want to make it one-sided, but the man being the head, if he don't know what's clean, the difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy, he can never present it to his woman. And most of the time, truth be known, they have done these things together, and it's just become part of their sex life. But the Most High said these things are just the very, we're not even going to go into different acts. Just the act of a man and a woman coming together. He says they are both, if there's seed involved, the seed of copulation, then they're both unclean. And the biggest thing to that is, well, two things. If you practice living that way, then the Most High says, no unclean person is going to enter into my kingdom. I told you how to get clean from that. And it's not, you know, something that I said that you can't do, but you have to account for it. And if you are in that state, then don't come messing with my stuff while you're in that state. I've told you what to do and how long that you're unclean for. Now, when we start getting into perversion and those types of things, because we were addicted to porn, we saw some things and somebody introduced us to some things and it wasn't all unpleasant to us, and we learned to like it, or we grew to like it, or we liked it from the beginning. Doesn't mean just because you like it don't mean that it's not perverse. Because you were doing it in the world and the world practices it, don't mean that it's not perverse. And then you want to bring it into the marriage bed and say, oh, but the marriage bed is undefiled. That act before you got married was perverse. After you get married, it's perverse. Okay? It don't change. You know, and that's not getting into anybody's, not getting into anybody's window. Not peeping through your window and say, aha, look what you're doing. No, it's the truth of the matter. We know the way this world is. We know that when we were in the world, that our friends, our best friends, our girlfriends, our boyfriends, it's no telling what they may have been into. No telling what they have been into. No telling when, you know, you got with this man and you lay with him, and he had been used to doing X. Now he wants you to do it. Oh, baby, I saw this in this film. Let's try this. No. If the Most High says that it's perverse, it is perverse. You can't bring it into the marriage bed and say, okay, well, it's not perverse anymore because we're married. No, it's perverse before then. It's still perverse afterwards. Okay, so the sheer act of copulation, the seed of copulation being still, makes the man unclean and makes the woman unclean. That's not the word of Brother Miles. That is scripture. We just read it. And if you are unclean, then you are in sin. It's not the word of Brother Miles. We've read this already. And we know that there had to be a sin offering. So verse 18, again, the woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. So, simple as nature itself, her regular monthly cycle. Because there's blood involved, then now the uncleanness is 7 days. Okay? Because of the blood. Verse 20. And everything that she lies upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sits upon shall be unclean. And whosoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And if it be on her bed or anything wherein she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon her, him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed wherein he lies shall be unclean. So here it goes from a man simply touching something that a woman who is menstruating, wherever she sits, is unclean. Somebody touches it, they're unclean. They wash themselves, they're unclean until the evening. She's unclean until her cycle stops, and then she's unclean another 7 days. But if a man sleeps with her while she is menstruating, then he is now unclean, not until after the act, and he washes, and unclean until the evening. He's unclean 7 days. 7 days, he's unclean. So there is something with blood that the Most High says the life of a thing is in the blood. So when it is blood that is being shed because it wasn't used to, you know, to start forming a child, this is dead blood. It's wasting. There's no really, he considers it more unclean than if it was just the fetus seed of copulation. There's something to do with the blood. So the woman, if he sleeps with her while she is menstruating, then he's unclean 7 days. That means he cannot take part of anything holy for 7 days. Can't get up and wash and take a shower or you know, wash his clothes, and then go do something, go to church, jump in the pulpit, pick up his Bible. Because a lot of people don't even look at their Bible as being holy. And then because, you know, we want to justify ourselves and, oh, it ain't that bad. You know, the Most I said, he said this about it, but surely he didn't mean this. He meant exactly what he said. And so, you know, we have to be mindful of these things because, again, the truth of the matter is, the Most High has said, no unclean person shall enter into his kingdom. Let's continue. 25, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, so this is a woman with an abnormal menstruation, or it run beyond the time of her separation. All the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. So, you know, every woman is different. Have what they call a normal cycle, and then have some have abnormally long cycles. No matter what, the Most High is saying, however long she's having that cycle, she is unclean. And those are the days of her separation. And so, you know, some women have 3 days, and some women have 7 days, and you have heard of women bleeding for 2 weeks or more. The whole time that that is upon them, they are unclean. Now we know with the woman who touched Messiah's, the hem of his garment, and she had been bleeding for how many years? That whole time she was unclean. So let's continue. Verse 26. Every bed whereupon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the day, the bed of separation. And whosoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean. Whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanliness of her separation. And whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. But if she be clean of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days. And after that, she shall be clean. So that time of the month ends, she's still to number to herself what? 7 days. So if her cycle was 3 days, it goes off, she's unclean another 7 days. Okay. After that, she shall be clean. And upon the 8th day, she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves and two young pigeons and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer one for a sin offering. Every month. This is natural for the woman. He comes of age. He starts to have this. But every month she had to bring a sin offering for her menstrual cycle. Let's continue. And the priest shall offer one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. The priest shall make an atonement for her before Yah for the issues of her uncleanliness. Thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is all about touching the holy things of the Most High. This is the law of him that has an issue, and of him whom seed goeth from him, and is defiled therewith, and of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that has an issue of a man, and of a woman, and of whom him that lies with her that is unclean. So, you know, there's nothing to guess about here. We don't have to, you know, guess what the Most High says concerning this thing. If a man has an issue coming from his skin, pus, you know, anything like that, he is unclean as long as he has that condition. And anybody that touches him that has that condition, they are unclean. They must wash themselves, and they are unclean until the evening. If a man sleeps with a woman, and there is seed of copulation, or if there's blood, but seed of copulation, then they are both unclean, the man and the woman. And they must both wash themselves, and they're unclean until the evening. If they do that thing on, let's say, the beginning of the Sabbath, and I know brothers who have done this, they are unclean the entire Sabbath, but they are unclean until the next evening. But we want to be up, you know, preaching and teaching the word of Yah in an unclean state. We want to take part of the holy things in an unclean state. Can't do that. So the Most High has not left it to any doubt for a man or a woman what makes them unclean and how long they are unclean. And this last sentence here, let's read this again. Go back to chapter 15. Let's go down to the end of it. And I want to get verse 31, okay? Because you got to understand this is what it all comes back to. And in the spirit of it. Thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, that they do not in their uncleanliness, when they defile my tabernacle that is among you. So it says, when you are in this unclean state, I don't want you having anything to do with my stuff. So don't go make up something and say, oh, it's okay. And Yah won't mind. He's a loving and forgiving Elohim. And so he'll accept me in this condition. He'll accept me in my uncleanliness. He said, I couldn't have that stuff around my tabernacle. Now, who is this tabernacle today? We are. And so we have to be very careful in these things. Most times it's not saying don't procreate, not saying don't, multiply and fill the earth. But when it comes to my stuff, even today, you got to understand that you have to reverence me. So if you're going to do that, don't have anything to do with me on that day. Don't think that you can do this and then make yourself unclean and then come to me and minister to me, come before me. When we make that decision that, hey, I'm going to go lay with my wife or my husband, then we also know that that day we're making the decision we're not going to be doing anything with the Most High. Just the way it is. So we have to make that conscious decision. You're on a fast, and your spouse don't want to honor the fast because, they can't keep their hands off of you. Then they defile you in your fast, and then you're open. You got to start all over because they wouldn't honor it. And the Most High says, hey, you broke it. You got to start over. And everything that you did is not accounted to you as righteousness. So we got to have, brothers and sisters with the same understanding from the scripture and when they should be doing things and when they should not. And if we take a vow or an oath to the Most High, then, our spouse has to understand and agree. You know what this means. We can't do anything. Don't even ask me, or else you can't do it because the Most High is not going to honor it. And so you're just doing something just to be doing it. Okay, let's continue. So we see what makes a man unclean and what makes a woman unclean. And those things we have to honor in the relationship. That's why he says he doesn't want the husband and the wife to stay apart, except for if it's for a time for fasting and prayer, because he don't want to be doing that unclean. So I pray we can hear this. Leviticus chapter 16. Before we move on, know that this didn't change in the New Testament, okay? The Most High didn't do away with this and say, oh, it's all good.
Do what you're going to do. And I'm not going to hold you accountable for it because it's not part of the New Testament. This was not done away with. Matter of fact, it was actually reiterated in the New Testament that, you know, you don't defile each other. I want husband and wife to come together, but except for these times. And don't make it for a long time. Don't tell your husband or your wife, oh, yeah, I'm going on a 40-day fast. When they're not used to you going on a 40-day fast or being without you in that way, your ask may be unreasonable. And the Most High says your ask may be unreasonable. Okay. All right. Now let's continue. Leviticus chapter 16. And Yah spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron. I remember back in chapter 10, Most High had Moses to train Aaron and his sons on their duties. And the Most High came down to present himself before the people. And he was going to consume the sacrifice that was on the altar. And Nadab and Abihu burnt incense at the wrong time. And the Most High said, that's strange. And he burnt them up. Okay. Burnt up liberal worship. So let's continue. And Yah spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before Yah and died. And Yah said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, that he come not at all times. Okay. Now, hear what the Most High is saying here. Aaron is the high priest. And he's the only one, or whoever's acting in the office of high priest at the time. They're the only ones that can enter within the veil where the Holy of Holies and the mercy seat are at. And that's where the Most High said that he would meet them at. Now he's telling Moses to tell Aaron, see that he don't come into the Holy of Holies all the time, like whenever he wants to. See that he don't do that. Okay, let's continue. All right, verse 2 again. And Yah said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering on the holy linen coat. And he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh and shall be girded with the linen girdle and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock upon the sin. Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before Yah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. One for Yah, and the other lot for the scapegoat. Now the scapegoat is important, okay? So let's talk about this for a minute. And my mouse just went that crazy right now. Let's talk about this scapegoat. These two goats, okay? One for Yah, and one the scapegoat. The scapegoat, people were put on the scapegoat.
and the blood of the sacrificial lamb were put on the scapegoat. Okay? So the sacrificial lamb was sacrificed for sin, for the sin of the people, for the sin of the priest, whoever. That was the atonement for Yah. But the blood of that lamb was placed upon the scapegoat. The scapegoat was taken out into the wilderness, way far away, and let go. Okay? Now, he was someplace where he was not being protected, so he still probably got killed, but he was consumed outside of the camp by something wild. And the sins were taken away from the people and sent out into the wild. So the scapegoat, when we come to Messiah's crucifixion, this is why it's important that you understand what's going on here. When Caiaphas came to offer up Messiah to be crucified, and they brought up Barabbas, and I know we remember this story, Barabbas was the criminal. And the people hollered for him to let go Barabbas. And we have, here you have Messiah, and here you have Barabbas. And he offered them, which one of the two of these do you want to let go? And they screamed, Barabbas. He says, okay, I washed my hands of this blood off of my hands. Well, we have the high priest bringing Messiah, the goat that was going to be sacrificed to appease Yah, the Lord, I want to say it that way, Yah's sacrifice. And then we have Barabbas as the scapegoat. And Barabbas is let go free. But the blood of Messiah covered him. And Barabbas was later on killed because, you know, he was still that person. But you will see that even with the sacrificial lamb, Messiah, that there had to be a scapegoat. And in this case, it was Barabbas that was made the scapegoat. Let go with blood on his hands. Okay? So even in scenario, the Most High said, hey, this is my lamb, then the sacrifice had to happen just as we were going to read it here in Leviticus. Has to happen this way, even with Messiah, for him to qualify to be the Lamb of the Most High. Okay, let's continue. Leviticus 16 and 7. And he shall take the two goats and present them before Yah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for Yah and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat which upon Yah's lot fell, offer him for a sin offering. So this is for Yah, you get sacrificed, offer for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yah to make an atonement with him. And let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before Yah, and his hands shall be full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before Yah, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with the finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do that, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgression in their sin. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. And there shall no man in the tabernacle of the congregation, when he goes in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he comes out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household, for all the congregation of Israel, and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before Yah, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and go in upon the horns, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his fingers seven times, and cleanse it, and I'll hallow it from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Now this is a scapegoat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in their sin, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let it go, the goat, in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he has put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. So we see Aaron goes and he sacrifices the bullock. He sacrifices the goat for the people, the bullock for himself, the goat for the people. He takes the blood, sprinkles it on the altar, pours the rest at the base, and pours some in a basin. Then he takes the blood of both, the bull and the goat, and he goes and gets the scapegoat. And he puts his hands upon the head of the scapegoat. And he renounces, proclaims all of the sins of the children of Israel, and he transfers them to this goat. And then that goat is taken out into the wilderness and let go. Okay. So you will see this play out with Messiah as well, being the Lamb of the Most High, that sacrificial lamb. Then this same procedure, procedure that we see here in Leviticus chapter 16 takes place with Messiah, with the high priest offering him up for sacrifice, and then calling for his crucifixion, and then calling for the release of Barabbas, the scapegoat. Okay. But that means that let's continue here. We might wrap up a little bit early tonight. Let's go back and let's get verse 16 and 22. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off his linen garments, which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer a burnt offering, and a burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall be burned upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering, the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn it in the fire. their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your soul, and do not work at all, whether it be for your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. Okay, so this is the seventh month, and the tenth day of the month. Now, the seventh month is going to start on the evening of the sixth, which is the seventh. That will be the start of the seventh month. On the 10th of that month, 10 days from that, so around the 16th or the 17th, and I'll get the exact date, then that's the Day of Atonement. And you shall afflict your soul and do no work at all, whether it be for one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yah. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by statute forever. And the priest whom you shall, he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office, in his father's stead, shall make an atonement, and shall put on the linen breeches, even the holy garments, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. Now, we don't have the sanctuary. We are the sanctuary. We are the temple. But we are to remember this day. That is a holy day. Messiah. And again, it points back to Messiah. That we are to remember that he was our atonement. That he suffered and died for us. And that we are to remember, you know, just like in, he says, as often as you do this, communion, as often as you do it in remembrance of my death. You know, the brothers have taken these feast days and, you know, made them the occasion just to be getting drunk, to party and become riotous, to argue, fuss, and fight, to be at strife with one another, and just completely corrupting the Most High's feast day and the honor that we're supposed to be giving him on those days for making atonement for us, for suffering for us, for belittling himself for us. And we go in and make a mockery of it. I just, you know, I'm going to get my bourbon and you can get your wine. And, you know, it's the Most High, it's the Day of Atonement, Tabernacle. It is the Passover, when he wants us to honor him in these things. Afflict yourself, because you should be dead. Remember what I did for you. So this is why we should be keeping these feast days, and so that we also know what his next moves are going to be. Seventh month, the 10th day. Not supposed to work. And if we say we follow the Most High, then, you know, we take a day off. We put in for a vacation day. Don't have a vacation day, oh, I'm going to be sick that day. My soul is going to be sick. And I'm going to afflict myself. I'm going to remember just what the Most High had to do to bring me salvation. To save a wretch like me. So, you know, we don't want to make these days common. We don't want to make them an occasion to get drunk, to dishonor the Most High. And we don't want to not keep them. If we dishonor him in that, when he says that this is a day you're not to work, but you shall afflict your soul. And so if you have to take off be sick, a personal day, whatever you have to do. Because, you know, I can't say this enough. We cannot say that we are his people and we honor him not in his feast day. We can't say that we are his people and we keep his feast day, but dishonor him then in him because we make it about, everything is about us and about feasting, partying, you know, taking occasion to get a hold of some hard liquor and get drunk. It ain't about him. It's about, and so, you know, this is one of the things that I first saw when I first came into, you know, the understanding that I was a Hebrew Israelite. And then I'm looking at my brothers and sisters and we're at the Passover and what they're worried about is, can they get some of that hard liquor? Can I get some of that bourbon? Where's that bottle at? You know, they pay, quote unquote, a tribute to the Passover. But the real reason for being there is we want to party. This is an occasion that we can use to get drunk. And so, no, we don't want to be about that. We want to honor the Most High in his feast day. Proper, with reverence, with due respect, with an appreciation for what he has done for us, his long suffering. You know, I should have killed you all, but I didn't. You shouldn't even be here right now, but you are. And so, you know, in what the Most High said, that he determines to be clean and unclean, we have to honor that. We have to do it the right way. We have to make sure that we're walking circumspect, that we don't dishonor him and then don't make it into the kingdom because we were just unclean. We love pleasure more than we love the Most High. We got to not be there. So we're going to stop here for this evening. I am tired physically, mentally. I need to rest myself. Need to go before the Most High. But I want you to take this seriously. Because, you know, his word is not going to return unto him void. No unclean person. So if you are practicing uncleanliness and just don't want to stop, don't want to honor him in it, don't want to have enough respect that if you know you're unclean that you don't touch anything of his. You reverence him that way. No, I'm unclean, so no, I can't do that. The Most High's not going to be mad at you. He's the one told you not to do it. So, you know, honor him in these things because these things, they don't go away in the New Testament, as I said. They don't go away. You know, the animal sacrifices and things like that, yeah, they went away. Being unclean did not go away. You got to know what he says is unclean. Not what man says. Okay, so we want to honor our Elohim. Let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you right now. Father, we know that we have been unclean with you in times past, in ignorance, Father, in the love of pleasure, in the satisfying of the urges of this flesh, in the satisfying of the urges of a spouse. Father, we don't want to be unclean, and we don't want this to cause us to not to enter into your kingdom. So, Father, for all who have done it, Father, forgive them, even right now. Forgive them for the act. Forgive them for their ignorance. And Father, pray that they would not do anything that is unclean towards you ever again, that they have respect, that we would not go and do something and be unclean and then come and try to take part of your holy thing. For death sentence. So Father, if your people have done this, I pray that you forgive them their sin in their ignorance, that they can't claim to be ignorant anymore. So Father, judge accordingly. Forgive them in their ignorance, Father. And if they did this thing willfully, then it's in your wheelhouse, Father. Your will be done. We want to come before the Father, our Elohim, a clean nation, a clean people. We want to know the holy from the unholy. We want to be able to discern it. Not what we think, but what Yah has said it is. What Yah has said it is. Father, we accept your definition and your definition only. We won't let another come and give us a different definition to change our hearts. Because typically, when they do that, Father, it is to allow them to do something that they want to do. So, Father, we pray that we be not turned in this thing, but that we understand the cleanliness and the uncleanliness of man, as you have described it and as you have ordained. And because we think we have these modern conveniences that we can go jump in the shower at any time, that we think that we are clean because we have jumped in the shower, used that body wash, and we're smelling good. But you say we still stink until the evening. Let every person have this understanding, Father, and walk in your word according. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. On tomorrow morning, we shall continue in this thing. Again, trying to get through so that we can solidify and come into the New Testament so that we know that what we are under and what we are to be held to and what we are to hold each other to, so that we don't walk circumspect to the Most High, contrary to him, but that we walk with him, with understanding, not with, you know, excited because we're learning the truth, and have a zeal about ourselves, that we want to have a zeal about ourselves and what? According to knowledge. So that we don't set our righteousness above the righteousness of the Most High. Can't make the same mistake that our forefathers made. So we will continue this thing tomorrow morning. I pray that you all are able to make it. For myself, I can only consider that this word has just enriched me so much more to have a far better understanding of the Most High and what it is that he requires and what he says our forefathers and how they failed him, where they failed him, that it gives me the opportunity not to make the same mistake that they made. That being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I cannot love you anywhere close to how the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. You get in the AM. Happened here. Okay.
Pray that I never fall.